In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The words of our Lord Jesus just before this gospel text you heard, "You cannot serve God and mammon." And then the first portion of this little text itself, the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things and they mocked him. So I get to preach a sermon against greed here among seminary professors and future pastors and deaconesses. That is very rich. We all know that the real reason that you are here is to land those big salaries in the multi-million dollar ecclesiastical complex. And we know that there have actually been those among you who have left good-paying secular jobs to enter church work. Why? Because of greed, the desire to make bundles of money. Of course, the idea is absurd. No one becomes a pastor or deaconess or even a professor, I suppose, at least in our church, in order to become wealthy. I'm sure that we can come up with plenty of other sins that would fit Concordia Theological Seminary: lust and pride and gluttony and sloth. But greed, the love of money, that sounds a bit far-fetched, absurd. Except it's not absurd. In fact, our mockery uncomfortably echoes the text. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things and they ridiculed him. Experience proves that you don't have to be rich, to be greedy, to be a lover of mammon. And yet still we object. I am not really greedy or covetous, but I am concerned about how I'm going to pay the bills. But that's not greed. That's just common sense. That's being realistic. That's being responsible, as I slam shut Quicken on my laptop. And Jesus said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts." God knows your hearts. We frankly do not really know our own hearts. We as often as not cannot see the dark corners of our own hearts, but then the Holy Word unexpectedly exposes some sin, like greed, for instance. And we snatch at the nearest fig leaves, trying to cover our shameful nakedness. We attempt to justify ourselves, perhaps laughing off our sin, mocking the very thought that it really is much of a sin. Worrying about money, complaining about salary, dissatisfactions with what we have, griping about what we have to pay, that's not sin. That's life. And Jesus said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves." And the fig leaf falls, and we stand naked in our shame before the Holy One. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's what that greedy wretch of a publican praying in the temple says two chapters from now in Luke 18. And what does Jesus say there in that chapter about that man? He says, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified." He could find no way to justify himself. His shame, his sin was too great. And yet still he went down to his house justified. This is the mystery of the grace of the Holy Trinity shining right down into our sin-dark hearts. The one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, only baptizes poor, miserable sinners who cannot justify themselves. The Blessed Father only sends forth his Son to suffer and die for sinners. The Holy Spirit only clothes with righteousness those naked in their own shame, no longer trying to justify themselves. The body and blood of God feeds forgiveness only to those who come empty-handed and empty-hearted, except for the sorrows of their sins. Echoing the words of our Lord, I tell you today, like that greedy publican, you may go down to your house justified. Not justifying yourself, that's impossible, but justified by Christ. As St. Paul says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich." Your sins are forgiven. Go down to your house in peace. Amen.